Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. Let's begin by making fun of just a couple of names, and then we can before we come to what's going on, or more like what our parliamentarians have been up to for at least, and they are still up to that. They are just scattered, across the country, and I've been on their IG page several times, and looking at the consultations that they're holding, and I'm just looking forward to all the reports when they come, because for those of you that are regular, that Helmed and Dwight on their home run, they really, really, really like those reports. For one, we don't have to go out there and gather that information because we're just paid to go through the report. Now, the parliamentarians, on the other hand, are paid to go and gather the information and then compile it into a report. Then after that, they put it in their website, do whatever they can to make sure to share with these reports with as much people as they can. That's where we come in. We don't do the gathering. We just do the, we don't do the gathering of the information or the compiling of that information. We just, wait for the report to be compiled and then made available publicly. And then four o'clock to seven. That's a lot of time to make fun of, pretty much anyone that's mentioned in the report. Plus, when it's compiled into a report, it's public knowledge. So I don't have to worry about defamation lawsuit. Because if anything controversial is said in there, and you come to me, I'll just give you directions. I know where the parliament is. I would gladly dial Yango, InDrive, Lefa, whatever it takes. I'm getting into the parliament. I'm like, yeah, you know everything that I said, and you seem to not to agree with. I didn't say that. Actually, it came out of a report that was compiled by a bunch of guys that are in that building. Now, from here, you can take it over from here. Just, talk to the security guard, make your appointment. I don't care. So, our parliamentarians, very busy guys. Pardon my flu. Now, we'll get back to that in a few. Just like to point out, a few things, and that is for those of you that, for those of you that have, English, fancy English names or whatever language your name is, because I know mine is German and not Mahongo. That one is just, that one is Nyemba. Helmed is, as far as I gather, German, which I'm, according to Google, translates to bright and vigorous. It's a nice name. It's an awesome name. It means someone who is bright and full of energy. Except I sleep a lot. Now, when it comes to this whole naming things, we've been through this before. And I remember talking about this topic, I think, about a year or two ago. That's when I learned that names like McHenry basically means Henry's son. McDonald means the son of Donald. And that's actually where I find cultures, and more like converging cultures from cultural practice and names, very fascinating, because McHenry, which is Henry's son, or MacDonald, which is Donald's son, or MacNab, which is the son of Nab. It's, I find that very fascinating, because that naming convention, that way of naming, cultural aspect, like the direction it goes in terms of meaning, is very relatable for an African. Because, names like Nehale Yampingana basically explains the same, the exact same thing halfway across the planet. What is your name? My name is Nehale. Now, who's Nehale? Because there could be a lot of Nehales here. This is a very specific type of Nehale. This is Mpingana. Nehale, specific. So, Nehale Yampingana, if you can just take it to the, you know, McDonald type of naming, you could just say, you know, Mac Nehale, which translates to Nehale's son. Isn't that, isn't that beautiful? And the Arabs, on the other hand, you find, you know, then you'll find the name, and then you have the Al in the beginning. If I was born in the Saudi royal family, my name would be Helmut Al Saud, aka Helmut of the Saudi. Now, you see, before this whole nonsense of countries came along, people respected families, man, families. Families were everything. Now families is just about gathering during funerals and weddings, and then see you in when one of us dies again or get married. It's very embarrassing. So it's a Al in the Arabic culture. It's Ya in the, Oshuambo Sherero culture. And now, in the Thimbukushu culture, it's Wa. Mahongo Wa Muremwa. That's me now. Wa. It's a, we use a W-A, not Y-A. But, the point being made, whether you're using Mac or Al or Ya or Wa, the point being made is exactly the same. You are given a name, and that name, is pointing you, that name is basically your ID. It's pointing to the family that you are from. It's pointing at the family that you're from. Just an example here, Absalom Al Saud, Absalom of the Saudi family, of the Saudi royal family. That's basically Saudi Arabia. It's just one giant family project. And you have Mark Henry or Stevenson, and you have, a son of Stephen, Christian son of Chris. So it's a, families were respected all across cultures through names. And then something happened, the 21st century came, and we became a little too educated, and ironically also became a little stupid when it comes to, with regards to family and cultural respect. So what that amounted to was us just picking names out of the blue when, slapping them in the faces of our kids and Junior. Junior what? It's a nice name. But what does it mean? I feel like by taking out the cultural naming feature, we took away what's the French word? The je ne sais quoi of naming. Now we have, Abraham, who is in jail for murder. Oh, come on! You have 5 Tura boys. One is Peter, the other one is James, and then the one is Moses. They're out there grabbing phones. And you have a bunch of politicians. One is, Matthew, and you have Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They are all politicians, and they are all be under investigation by the anti-corruption for money laundering. Really? Matthew, Mark, John, Luke? I thought you guys wrote the gospel for a living. When do you all start, stealing public funds? So. Now, if you are one of those hardcore Christians, you'd think the, jail is full of a bunch of guys called Judas. No, it's not. It's actually not. It's full of a bunch of guys called, Matthew, Mark, John, Luke, Moses, all kinds of names. I'm pretty sure if you went to South American countries and Spain, you'll find some Jesus, aka Jesus, in jail for murder. Isn't that fascinating? It's a, then I discovered that, not only, this whole new naming, things that we just adopted, of giving people names without thinking it through, that also has taken us in a direction where we are just naming, where we are just giving people names that, not only, do we not know what the names mean, the names, when you find out the meaning of the names, the names are very funny translations. Take names like Kelvin, for example. Well, it turns out Kelvin means hairless or bald. So, if you are Kelvin and your head is full of hair, you have the wrong name. If you are Kelvin and you're bald, congratulations, you are the right Kelvin. You have the right name. And from now henceforth, you shall be called Kelvin, the hairless one. The mighty Kelvin, the hairless one. And Edward. Now, this one must be a very, very... if you are an Edward and you are not a security guard, you have a wrong name. Yeah, you have a wrong name. If your name is Edward and you're a security guard, congratulations. You have the right name. Because Edward means guardian of property. So, guardian of property. Edward. Cameron. Not Cameroon. Cameron, as in Cameron Diaz. From Charlie's Angels. I'm at 2000, stay out of this. Let's leave it there. Let's just say it was a fascinating action plus something else movie. Full of action more than anything else, though. You know. So, Cameron means crooked nose. Now, if your nose is straight, and your name is Cameron, you have the wrong name. That is not your name. But if you have a nose that is facing the other direction, when you are also facing the opposite direction, then you, my man or my lady, have the right name. Cameron. That's mainly, you know. Interesting. Really interesting. What happened to our traditional naming? I know a lot of things happened. Believe me, I get it. You know, things like, colonialism, you know, religion came along. Christianity can be split in two ways. They say what I call colonial Christianity, and the other type of Christianity that came before colonialism. I believe it was in the kingdom of Kush. Yeah. You know those pyramids that you find scattered all over? Sudan has about 200 pyramids. Sudan has more pyramids than Egypt. If you look up their history, can be traced back to the kingdom of Kush, where the language that was spoken, which is now a dead language called the Kushite, wonderful language. A dead language. It was a thriving empire at the very same time that the Roman Empire was just... actually, the Carthaginians kicked the Romans' butts several times. Now, before you start believing all that, Cecil John Rhodes' idea of, you know what? The North and Southern Rhodesia, aka take Zimbabwe for example. Zimbabwe has a lot of ruins that basically points to thriving empires. So when Cecil John Rhodes decided to become all, you know, full genocidal maniac, funded by financed by the British and the colonial Christianity associated with it. The first thing, and this is very fascinating about colonialism, if you are going to colonize a people, you first have to come up with an idea to justify your genocidal maniac ideology. You basically have to come up with a genocidal ideology. So since John Rhodes in Zimbabwe, for example, then Rhodesia came up with a very stupid idea because, all the ruins of Great Zimbabwe, in order to justify his own ideology of subjugation, he had to, you know, he could not possibly attribute the architectural genius of those ruins to the people. He was telling everyone that they are backwards and needed civilizing. So he had to cook up an idea that was in line with his evil ideology, and he came up with that idea. You know what? These people that I'm here to quote unquote civilize, these people were here. These people are here. They live here. But all these amazing architectural ruins, they didn't build this. This is too complicated for them. They didn't build that. You know who did? The Phoenicians, aka the ancient Greeks. They are the ones that built. In Southern Africa? Really? And you know what? A bunch of people believed that crap. As you can imagine, a lot of them were reading this stuff from newspapers, which is why when you are reading history, do your own research, because mainstream media is not going to cut it. You have to understand, mainstream media needs money to operate. And who has most of the money to help them operate? Well, the people that are pillaging and stealing resources and have a narrative to maintain. That's beautiful, isn't it? So, when women were being oppressed, you know what else was being taught? Women are not too advanced in their thinking capacity. They are not that developed to handle subjects like engineering and law and basically all the advanced courses that a lot of women are thriving at today. You know, like architecture, like... Really? And then, fast forward to the 21st century, we basically tossed that stupid ideology aside. And would you look at that? Women can do all these things that people thought can actually, white men thought they cannot do. And, white people, I'm gonna have to throw you under the bus here, because not only did you, use that idea on your own women, you use that idea on all other women that you came in contact with. I'm glad we can now agree that was just, how can I put this in a diplomatic way? A stupid idea. A very stupid idea. Because, well, we can see that now, because you can't say now that women can't be engineers. Because you have a lot of women engineers. You can't say now that women can be doctors, because you have a lot of women doctors. Now, that brings us to the, skin color. No, women cannot, Ben Carson, one of the most famous American surgeons. Yeah. He literally wrote an entire book on that, where he explains, how a lot of, in the early days of his career, how a lot of white people thought, I'm not going to be treated by a black person because, now you can't blame those dumb patients. But you have to understand they grew up under the narrative of being told, from a dinner table all the way to school and church, that someone who is darker than you is less developed mentally than you. Therefore, they cannot do things, complicated things like surgery. Oh, what do you know? Fast forward to the 21st century. We have now learned that actually it's not skin color that matters, or the type of hardware you have between your legs. That doesn't matter. It's it's what you are passionate about. It's things that you are good at naturally, or the type of effort that you're putting in. So, if you are not cut out to be a doctor, you can be white, tall, dark, handsome, whatever it is, you're going to be a terrible doctor. Your skin color is not going to save you from calculus. You will have to pass calculus for you to be a good engineer. Now, the good thing about subjects like mathematics is that it doesn't really care about your skin color as much as it does about your ability to comprehend it. No, but I'm white. I want to get this right. Yeah, but 2 plus 2 is not 10. It's 4. So, if your answer to 2 plus 2 is equal to 4, you can be Chinese, Indian, white, black. The answer is still wrong. Isn't mathematics just beautiful? It is just delicious. Although there is a level of mathematics I can tolerate, exponents and logs, those ones gave me a heart attack, but I went through it. And now, exponents themselves are just beautiful. Like, algebra is amazing. Because, for one, you don't need a calculator. 90 to 100% of the time when it comes to algebra, you're just dealing with very small numbers and variables. That's it. 3x plus y. You can already smell the unlike terms. It's a simple way of saying x and y, those are not like terms. 2x plus 3x equals 2. What? You come to the very simple rules now. When you are adding bases, what do you do to the exponents? When you are multiplying bases, what do you do to the exponents? Very simple rules. That's one thing I just love about algebra. And then I was introduced to something called, is it functions? Yeah. Gave me a few sleepless nights, but didn't do those ones, on a much higher level. But in comparison to all other, parts of mathematics, including exponents and logs, I had a wonderful teacher, though. That's why I survived it. Otherwise, I would not have survived. Would have died. So, now, let's come back to names. Let's come back to names. Careful of what you call your kids. When it comes to names, I wish we really came back to the traditional way of naming kids. Naming, giving them names that have meanings. Now let's take a theme song and then we'll come back to why I started with names and how does it tie into this whole, public consultations and, fact-finding missions being done by your parliamentarians right now. Language is everything. More on that on the other side of the theme song. We'll continue on the other side of the theme song. If you just tuned in, this is Mind the Gap with yours truly, Helmed, on Eagle FM. It's just a comedy show. Don't take any financial, relationship, political, or any type of advice. Although, if you take any of this advice from this show and you end up in the right place being praised, don't forget moi. Money forget me ni. Now, but if you just follow any of this advice from this show and you end up in trouble, leave me out of it. Thank you very much.
I wake up this morning, I check the pot. Yesterday food finish, today pot day hot with nothing. Water they boil inside empty pot, steam they come out. I close the lid, pretend say something they cook. I count my coins since morning, you know rich transport. I trek 3 miles to work under sun, no escort. My shoe they open mouth, the soul don't separate. I use rubber band hold them, so he no go vibrate. I reach work, my yoga ask why I dey sweat. I say na exercise, hunger they make me forget. Lunchtime everybody job, I drink water, fill my chest. I tell them I already ate. God forgive me for that jest. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. If I don't pay back, God Satan responsible. If I don't pay back, God the devil responsible. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. If I don't pay back, God Satan responsible. If I don't pay back, God the devil.
in school send letter. Fees done overdue. Teacher put my child out of class. What I go do? I beg the teacher give me one more week. She done hear that one before. She don't even speak. Night time I kneel down. Whole family they sleep. I cry to God quiet. The kind of cry that is deep. My wife ask what we go cook. I say God go provide. She look at me. She look at pot. Nothing there inside. Papa, 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 God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me. Papa, 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 God borrow me 10 billion. Hunger go kill me. Nothing to show, something no they right. My neighbor they cook, the smell enter my room. I swallow saliva, I pretend say I fool. Boom! I know they give up, but Lord hear my cry. Because hunger no supposed be the reason I die. Just borrow me small, I go walk out to pay. And if I feel lost, now devil lead me astray. Papa God borrow me 5 billion. Hunger go kill me.
Why am I so excited about all the public hearings being held by the by the National Assembly standing committees? Well, it's because after, it's been a while, almost about 4 or 5 years of just reading through a bunch of political and economic documents, both national and continental and global. One thing that my tiny brain have learned from all this is we have it backwards on politics. Everyone is hell-bent on, everyone seems to think the best way to solve, governance issues, the best way to maintain a good government is to vote for the right person in office. That is partly true, but it's not as big deal as we put it out to be. Now, legislations matters the most, but, now, the reason why, this is why I like civil society organizations, because the idea at least behind, civil society organizations and NGOs, at least the ones that are not being used by foreign intelligence to topple governments, because a lot of them are. Now, anyway, the idea behind civil society organizations is a very simple one. Get the people involved in governance. Simple. Because when people are aware of what's going on in their country, politically, economic, socially, and among other things, then they will pay attention to what type of laws are being passed, how these laws will impact them. That people being aware of what's going on in their country, legislatively and economically, there is nothing beats that. Nothing beats that. Why do I have that point of view? It's because finding the right person to put in office, I don't think we have enough time to search for the right person. And even if you found the right person, put them in office, we have something called term limit. They're not going to be there for 100 years. The longest they will serve, is at least in Namibia, it's going to be 10 years. Unless they go full dictatorship and then start changing the constitution to extend their term to, Cameroon. So, there are three ways of having a good country in terms of leadership. One, you can vote for the right person or the right political party, the right person, whatever it is you want to go with. You can go with that. But that is not as easy as it sounds, because people have a way of being nice when they are running for a campaign, and then they turn into an absolute idiot when they find themselves in office. People are capable of doing that. So we can't rely solely on trying to find the right officials to put in the right public offices. And we have to admit that's one daunting task, because you will have to find the right president, the right vice president, the right prime minister, the right minister, the right deputy minister, the right executive. Really? That's a lot of faith in humanity. So that's not going to cut it. Finding the right person for the right office, that is borderline impossible. Chances are very high you'll find the right person for the executive office, but they are going to be a bunch of wrong people in a bunch of offices, either the deputies or ministers. One or two of those is just going to be not right, to be diplomatic or politically correct, because the other description would get me fired. Anyway, so we have to admit that finding, even if you found the right person or the right political party, you are not going to have the same political party occupying all the entire cabinet and parliament and ministerial positions and deputy. That's just dictatorship 101. So, finding the right person or finding the right political party, that's not going to cut it. That method for me doesn't work, if you ask me. Because you will never find the right people for all your government positions. That's just impossible. One or two of those is going to be a thief. One or two of those, actually, a bunch of them, are going to be a bunch of liars. How do I know the majority of them are going to be a bunch of liars? Well, the majority of them are going to be men. And men, in our defense, 90% of the times, we lie because the world just can't handle the truth. Everyone knows, every straight man I know understands that the best way to die a virgin is just tell the truth. And that's how you die a virgin. Very easy. Very easy. And now, before you start going, he's promoting lie. No, relax. This wisdom is coming to me here at Eagle FM from Uganda. Their former minister of finance, in the middle of his usual colleagues, money will come. In the middle of his usual, you know, genius financial advice, he made time to give genius economic advice, genius relationship advice. Now, the genius relationship advice was, for those of you that have been married for a long time, you know that sometimes, even when you know the truth, and you know that this truth is going to cause harm, don't tell the truth, though. You're going to get yourself killed. Like, my man. And then Museveni comes along and then disappoints me by reshuffling his entire government. And then now that awesome financial relationship marriage minister is not part of his cabinet. I was like, I've never been disappointed in an African leader the way that I'm disappointed in the Ugandan president. Like, why would you do that? Museveni, he's the one that said when someone is qualified, you are not supposed to let them retire. And then he turns around and does the exact opposite by retiring the very same person who is not only qualified to give financial advice, but also relationship and overall marriage advice. So disappointing. Anyway, so finding the right party, finding the right person, it's not going to cut it. That's just, it's too ideal. And we live in the real world. We don't live in the ideal world. We live in the real world where people are bound to make mistakes and some of them are bound to be thieves. So finding the right people for all your government positions. Nah. So that brings us to option number two. If finding the right people is not going to cut it, we're going to need another option. Right. We can just throw in a towel and forget everything governance and focus on our lives, except we can't do that. It's also impossible because you can just say, I'm not into politics, but political decisions are going to impact your life, whether you like it or not, whether you participate in politics or not. They are going to impact it. You'll just be getting angry and crying, but you know, at least take some of it out by expressing, your frustration to, you know, public officials, especially when they show up and do all these public engagements. I came across one, I think that was in the Kunene region on the parliament Instagram page, where someone was talking about small scale mining, illegal mining, and oh boy was I drooling, and I'm still drooling. I'm like, just bring me the reports already. And you know what I found? There are only 13 likes, I don't know how many views that page has. Now find one twerking video on that very same platform. Millions of views. Oh, come on. So you can't claim to want to, you know, you can't claim to want your government to work for you if you are not participating more in twerking than you are in public engagements. Well, if you participate more in twerking than you are in public engagements, that means no one is participating in public engagements that dictates the day-to-day interactions of your government. If no one is participating, guess what? The little that are participating are not enough to cause an impact that will stop a bunch of people from buying iPhones with 2 SIM cards. You see the problem? You have got to balance liking and viewing and well interacting with nude dancing videos to public engagement videos. Participate in both. Actually, I'd recommend you participate in public engagement videos, but you do you. Commercial break.
Ritavazende kize imba izwezipiri. Lwekerize mikwa yengu yencha kukona kunolofaza kwa nkufisa. Hamo chwalo ni mata amsika avona kare. Kana mitukiserize kubona msevelezo wa imba ye. Mufumane lisevelezo ze zwezipiri ze kakulipafela mashiringi alika na 36 na million dollars kakweli. Kapa kami kwa ye kutesifa fasi ye tatama 5% machipisa hamungo lisari kwerize talu. 10% machipisa hamungo lisari kwerize sirela. 25% machipisa hamungo lisari kwerize lishumiperi. Muketeri kwerizo muvata kulimukone kukala kuikola zendezeo imba imiswa lezi kwa machipisa. Imba, toku kubukani fasi kaufela. Muipe kwa lisevelezo za imba kachenu kulimukone kuikola zende kaufela.
Welcome back. So, now, just why am I saying that civil society's approach to proper governance is it's actually the best template, because the goal is to get as much people as possible to participate in what their public officials are doing. That way, there are a lot of eyes focused on the public officials. And these are not just eyes that are looking for mistakes and start blaming. No, like they don't make mistakes. You know what? This person, this is actually the irony I find. As a comedian, I think very broadly when it comes to these things. And one broad way I think of this is, you have someone who is criticizing a member of parliament that made one tiny governance mistake. Not fish rot level mistake. That's intentional. That's not a mistake. A mistake is when you give someone a tender. Take, for example, let's use Namra's prefabricated Namra officials' accommodation facilities. I think that was the border between Namibia and Botswana, the side of Hobabis. So now a tender was put out, and then it was given to I imagine it was a local tender preneur who later, just halfway through, abandoned the tender and started saying, on account claiming that they underquoted, they underquoted Namra, basically. Now, I can't blame Namra for that. Now, if you did not go through that report, you would blame Namra for that. I can't blame Namra for that. Why? Because I know it wasn't Namra that underquoted, because it wasn't Namra's, it wasn't Namra's responsibility to quote themselves for a tender that they were given to someone. When you're given a tender, you provide the right quote. Now, this is why you should participate in your government, because you will know who to blame on what and when. Otherwise, you just be throwing blames left, right, and center. Is there anything that, are there certain things that, take for example, Namra can be blamed, can be blamed for with regards to their mandate? I'm sure if you ask a bunch of Namibians, they will have a lot of things to say, because we all interact with Namra among other SOEs in a lot, in more ways than one. Now, the way that I at least interact with them is by just reading a bunch of reports that is associated with them. And we do that here on Home Run and here on Eagle FM, with all kinds of reports coming from, ombudsman, of the Auditor General, from public, public engagements by the National Assembly, and national Council Standing Committees. Now, so there are things, I'm pretty sure if you went out there and asked Namibians, so there are things that they will all have a lot of different things to say about a lot of SOEs. But this is where it becomes very helpful to know what their mandate is, what they are doing, how it's supposed to be done, and how they are doing it, whether it's in line with ways that it is supposed to be done. And this is where I find, again, the judiciary brilliantly, having a very brilliant template. About 2-3 years ago, with when they met with the National Assembly Standing Committee on Constitutional Legal Affairs, they were brought together. the judiciaries, among other, public officials in the legal sphere of things. And they were asked, isn't there a way of replacing this Oshakati courtroom door as fast as possible? Because you can't take 5 months to replace a door. Now, the judiciary, being the judiciary, basically understanding what legislations are in place, especially in terms of, in relations to procurement, said, told them, Oga parliamentarian, believe me, I want to replace that door as much as you do. The thing is, here, the Procurement Act is telling me that I have to follow specific procedures when replacing it. I can't just walk in Popkevitz, build it, and then buy it. No, I have to follow specific procedures. Are there any other way of expediting this process? Oh, there are ways of expediting the procurement process. The problem is, replacing a door does not meet those requirements according to the Procurement Act. And I was just sitting there with my popcorns. I'm like, my man here knows what he's talking about. And then I go through another report, and you have public officials, constituency councillors that are being asked by I believe, is it a Natural Resources Standing Committee about their capital projects in their constituency and their, in their area of jurisdiction, and they are going, what projects? It's like, oh man, seriously? How are you a councillor and you don't know what capital projects are running in your constituency? Although, to be fair, just a little bit of to be fair, we have got to start doing these things in English. I'll give you an example. In our native language, because some of these things, English is the problem. Have you ever heard of, has someone said something that sounded offensive to you, but then later you realize that they didn't actually mean it? It's just their limited English vocabulary. And I did that to my agriculture teacher when I was in high school. She asked me to show her something in my book, which I kept showing her, and she, for some reason, she sort of like just kept missing it. Now, I just decided to show it to her like for the second or third time. And then I said, ma'am, it's right here. Can't you see? Now, my high school English vocabulary thought, can't you see, was something formal that you can say to an adult. No. Can't you see has a, are you blind type of meaning behind it? That's basically what I said. Now, she didn't punch me in the face. God bless her heart. She didn't slap me. God bless her heart. She corrected me then. You can't say that. Can't you see? she understood I was just a pupil with limited English vocabulary that was just trying to the best of his ability to communicate with my teacher. But, and then I ended up using a phrase that was just flat out offensive. And instead of cooking or punching me in the face, she corrected me. And I never forgotten that. So, when we are doing this consultation and someone goes, what project? I think we should just give them a bit of a benefit of the doubt just by explaining, so we get the context behind their question of what project. Is it what project, as in they don't know what project is going on in their constituency, which will just be, that's just dumb. Or is it what project, as in they have so many projects, they want you to be specific as to what project you are referring to. But if you look at the question itself in the English, in a technical English language, what project has, gives a point of view of someone not knowing, not having a clue what's going on. Yeah. Use your own language here, because this English will be the end of you.
Okay. Quick song, and then we'll come back on the other side. Yeah. And people think politics, you know, and people think politics is boring.
I wake up this morning, I check the pot.
Yeah, we all woke up this morning and I check the pot. And in our case, we check the fridge and the only thing that was in there is water.
Some live for the bill, some kill for the bill. Yeah. She whine for the bill, grind for the bill.
She used to be the sweet.
Some steal for the bill, if they gotta pay the bill.
She used to be
too nice, Mike left ain't gone. Wizzy on the bill.
Some kill for the bill when they gotta pay the bill. Translation: everyone likes money, so there is no such thing as we'll just get the right person in the presidential or vice president or ministerial position and everything will be fine. No. I'm not saying we should stop pursuing that. We should. We should keep it as one way of striving towards good governance. You know, having the right official, you know, public representatives. Find the right to the best of your ability to vote for the right people. But that alone is not gonna cut it. Because people can be bribed. People can be blackmailed. People can be shot. Like, shot dead. If they refuse to play the crime bill game. And South Africa is an excellent example of this. Namibia is also an excellent example of this. A couple of years ago. Actually, even this year. Was that this year or last year? Diamond Heist? Innocent, family-loving security officials lost their lives. Were they the right people? Like one gentleman, was he the right person for that job? Yes, he was, but that's just the problem. He was the right person for the job, surrounded by a lot of wrong people in a lot of powerful positions. And ended up losing his life. So when people are, this is why you can't pin all the hope on having the right official in place. That's not enough. Like I pointed out earlier, they can be bribed, they can be blackmailed, they can be shot. Unfortunately, and South Africa is notorious. I mean, the Mkhandla Commission is literally, they had to come up with a political task force. It's a political killing task force. That means anyone that could not be bribed found themselves dead. I know. If you can't be bribed, you're going to either be a Jeffrey Epstein or you're going to be shot. One of these two. Now, let's just put your ego aside here. If you were in a presidential, a ministerial, or executive, or any type of executive position in the public or in the public office, and you are approached by some drug trafficking billionaire representative from South America, wherever it is they are coming from, and they tell you, you know what? Since you are in charge of this harbor here at Walvis Bay. We want our product to come in, you know, undeterred. So, what we want is you to just, keep a blind eye and we'll be giving you, say, $1 million a year in US or $5 million. Actually, just name your price. If it's either you do that, or we are going to blackmail you, or we will just send in a hitman to come and shoot you so that we can replace you with someone who is willing to accept $1 million or $5 million a year. Which offer are you taking? A bullet in your head, blackmail, or $5 million a year? I know 90 to 100% of us that complain about these things will take the $5 million offer without blinking. We are broke now. Which is why we have the morals of, I would never do a cover. Really? I know which offer you'd take. A bullet in your head or $5 million. I know which offer I'll take because I don't want to die, I want to live. So, which leaves me with one option, which is get rich or die. Like literally, these are the options you are given. Get rich or die. Now, who would say, you know what, I would rather than walk. Right. The next thing you know, your comedian is driving a Vrupa. How did he get it? I had a show in Rundu and, the show was really killing it. Really? You bought a Range Rover by holding one show in Rundu? Absolutely. I mean, the work of God. I know you can't prove that one. It's either God or my ancestors. Well, one of these two. I know you can't bring them to the stand and interview them. You can. Plus, when you tell people that you are Kavango, everyone starts going, oh, you know what? Yeah. Whatever you're saying, it's really, it's true. Because, you guys are just nice. So, everyone wants the deal. Everyone can be bribed. On the other side, we're going to talk about two countries. Indonesia, which is fairly recent. We're not going to talk about Fishero, that's as old as time. But we'll just gloss through it. We use it as a reference from time to time. And we'll talk about Indonesia and Spain. Now, in these two countries, the two anti-corruption officials, both of them men, anti-corruption, like the people that are supposed to be fighting things like corruption, illicit financing, things like money laundering, they were caught with more money than they knew what to do with. How did they make that money? Good question. On the other side of dollar billion. High school, she was that girl that make me do the hula hoop around the gym. She was that girl that make me do the hula hoop around the gym. Again, never thought that she would come and work for the president. This is George Washington. Where my money at? She called. He called. She had a good day, bad day, sunny day, rainy day. All you wanna know is where my money at? Those legs don't get fit. Go out there and make my bread. All you wanna know is where my money at? She ended up in a roll call. Bruised up, scarred heart.
Around me, sing a dollar bill, y'all. for the bill.
Where my money at?
She whine for the bill, grind for the bill.
Where my money at?
From steel to the bill, they gotta pay the bill. Tonight, white left, fake on, we see on the bill.
Just like a waving flag, 5 minutes into the hour of 12. If you just tuned in, this is Mind the Gap on Eagle FM with yours truly, Helmut. And I'm here to give all kinds of advice, as usual. That's we're talking about political, economic, financial advice. The only advice you are not advised to take. Only advice you are advised to only do one thing with. Laugh and leave it alone. Now that we have that disclaimer out of the way, moving on. Indonesia. Should we start with Spain or Indonesia? Well, let's start with Indonesia was on the 11th of July, 2026. So let's start with the old one. That is Spain. Sanchez. Man, it's Spanish, man. Give me a break. Oscar Sanchez Gil. Now, that's from Euronews. And the point I'm making with these two examples in the next 30 minutes before I go full DJ is that the idea that we will have the right political party or the right person to run a government is not enough. Yes, you need the right policy. You need to vote for the right political party, depending on, and a right here for both a political party and person is very subjective. The right political party, the right person, or the right this, it's very, it's needed. But what is needed more, what's more important than that? What's actually more important in terms of complementing that type of, call it a vetting process in terms of who gets to occupy public, public office, is getting involved, getting involved in governance. As a citizen yourself, attending stakeholder engagements, public consultations, and all these things, visiting your ministry, your SOEs, your executive office, like Office of the Prime Minister, Office of the President website, knowing your legislations of what is going on where. Because not only will you complain like a professional, you will know when to complain, how to complain, and who to complain to. Otherwise, if you are just, if you are reactive, you'll just start throwing complaints in the wrong directions. You'll complain about budget allocation to the Ministry of Defense instead of complaining it to the right ministry, which is the Ministry of Finance. Now, even if you knew who to complain to, you need to constantly read up on what is going on. I think that's part of the problem. Problem that a lot of people find tricky to do. And that because knowing that a Public Procurement Act exists is it's a good thing. But you also have to understand that what are its flaws, and how is it hindering development in Namibia in terms of implementation? This is why we are, the whole thing is undergoing amendment, and that's just one. And we have a whole lot of those. That's why I find, I consider myself fortunate to basically be in the line of work and also in the line of study that. Where it's like, I don't have an escape route. When I'm at work, legislations. When I'm at school, legislations. So it's a work and study of the same thing for me. Isn't that amazing? So what I learn at work, I can apply at school. What I learn at school, I can apply at work. So easy peasy. Actually, I had no idea how easy my life is when it comes to this whole work thing. So work, school, same thing. So
In 2024, Spain arrested its fraud, its anti-fraud police chief. Anti-fraud police chief. You know, the guy that is supposed to be investigating fraud was arrested for fraud. And in Indonesia, last month, a man that was supposed to be investigating corruption was arrested for corruption. Why does that, this sound familiar? Well, maybe that's because we have a minister of justice who went full injustice and now he's explaining in very, 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 very Oxford level English over why, you know, no judge is capable of prosecuting the Vigilant case. Because bro is just switching judges well, he's changing them like a pair of shoes. This one, not a good one. No. And you know what's the genius part I like about Saki? It's because that's how, look, you can call it diabolical, what he's doing to basically substituting judges faster than they can blink, or more like faster than they can even hold a gavel. That's both painful and fascinating to watch because he understands the law. He is a former attorney general, for the love of God. He understands the law and he finds loopholes and uses it against the judges. You know, judges are, you know, laws are basically cooked up. Laws are cooked up by parliament, legislative branch, and then they are given a green light by the president, the executive branch, but the practice is only left to, the cooking is done by the legislative branch, your parliament. The blessing, aka, go ahead, signature is given by the executive branch, by the president, the executive branch. But the practice, the application of the law is done by the judiciary. This is where your judges comes in. Bro is just cooking everyone. That. When but don't reach that level of, look, it's diabolical. I know. I find it fascinating. Now, look at it this way. If Saki Shangala was a software engineer, he would be an excellent hacker. Because, to be a hacker, being a hacker is more than just downloading Kali and playing around with the tools. You're gonna go to jail. You first have to understand how the internet works, how traffic flows, how the software itself works, down to how the hardware interacts with the software. How traffic flows, what exploitable loopholes are available, and how can you use them to your advantage. Saki has mastered that, except in terms of legislations. And now he's just hacking one judge after the other. Look, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just saying I find it genius. Anyway. 2024, let's start from 2024. Spain arrested anti-fraud police chief after £20 million. 20 million euros. Yeah. 20 million euros fraud in his home. Now just take that 20 million and multiply it by 20, I believe. Then you have your figures in Namibian dollars. Just the 1920, 21, they give or take. But just multiply it by 20. 20 million euros was found in his home. 20 million euros was found in his home. That makes Ramaphosa so far look like pocket change. Now, the arrest is linked to Spanish largest ever cocaine bust after 13 tons of drug were found in a cargo container of banana shipped from Ecuador. It's banana on the surface and cocaine under. Spain arrested the police chief in charge of its economic crimes unit after 20 million euros was found stashed in walls of his house. Your house is made out of bricks. Bro was so rich, his house was made out of money. What was he in charge of? He was in charge of making sure that no drugs gets in Spain. Now, here's where I want you to think now. I want you to think now. How do you think the relationship between him and the drug guys that basically made him so rich he decided to replace every single brick of his house with money? How do you think that relationship started? I wanted to have that picture and just put a pause on that picture and find yourself, how did he get to that position? You can imagine when he went through training, he was dedicated to fighting corruption and fighting, crime in his country. Went through training as a cadet, went through training and then got his first job. Everything was perfectly fine until he was approached with, you know what? You know, all this whole fighting crime thing, it doesn't really pay. We can make you rich. We can make you so rich, you will replace the bricks of your house with money. That's how rich we can make you be. All you just have to do is allow us to bring in shipping containers that have cocaine at the bottom and bananas on the surface. That's all you have to do. And they just turn a blind eye. Now, just breathe and calm down and don't think about any politician. Just think about you being given that offer. Look, we have a bunch of guys with running around with a bunch of guns. We can either hire one of them to put a bullet in your head, or we could just give you, or you could just turn a blind eye so that we can bring our cocaine here and then we can give you 20 million pounds so that you can use. Now, you have to understand, 20 million pounds was found in the wall of his house. How much does this guy have in his bank account? Or maybe the wall of his basement. Or maybe the walls of other of his houses. Because if you have that amount of money, I imagine you have a lot of properties scattered across the country, if not even having more abroad. Don't think about any politician. Just put yourself in the shoe of that guy. You were approached. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just assuming that's what happened because I don't want to think that this man was found by a bunch of arms dealer in training and then he was financed all the way to reaching that position. There's a possibility that could have happened. But I like mine more of, him just training as a dedicated to his country fighting corruption type of a new police recruit and then really worked his way up to being a chief of fraud division. Anti-money laundering, anti-drug squad, The guy that who's dedicated his whole life and career to making sure that no drugs comes into his country. And then he was found that the whole time bro was in collabo with a bunch of drug lords that had been shipping. Yeah. Put yourself in that shoe. Don't put your minister, don't put your president, don't put your executive, just put you in the shoe of that guy. You are approached by a bunch of drug dealers. And you are told, you know what? We can either make you meet St. Peter at the Pearly Gates. Or we can make you meet Elon Musk. Take a peek. Who is it gonna be? Elon Musk or St. Peter? Who would you have chosen? If you were approached with that offer, who are you going to choose? Be honest with you. Because believe me, if you can lie to you, that means you can lie to anyone. When I say anyone, my dear Lord, do I mean anyone? So. Vrupa. Do you want your car? Do you want to drive a car that goes vrupa, or do you want to go kaboom? That's why the right person not gonna cut it. Now that is just Spain. Let's go to the most recent one now. Indonesia. Indonesia's top anti-corruption prosecutor has resigned after the police resigned. Now that's in July, 11th of July, 2026. Indonesia's top anti-corruption prosecutor has resigned after police raid on his home and other locations led to the seizure of, oh no, bro here took it to a whole another level. He wasn't just hiding money. He was hiding more than money. Whoever bribed this guy went all out. Look, believe me when I tell you, whoever bribed this guy, he wasn't joking. Whoever bribed this guy, I want them to bribe me because this guy, not only was he found with money, he was also found with gold bars. And 20 million US dollars of cash in multiple currencies. Now that $20 million worth of cash was in multiple currencies. Bro was being bribed by international bribers in multiple, by multiple bribers, assuming that's an English word anyway, by multiple bribers in multiple currencies. In a statement issued by the Attorney General's office, it pointed out that the anti-corruption prosecutor was stepping down as head of prosecutor of special crimes to maintain the integrity, objectivity, and neutrality of the law. Other authorities have not formally charged the man of any crime at the time. Jakarta, Indonesia. Now, police, when they raided this whole, all the locations that they had sneaky suspicions of, Namibian police that are raiding illegal drugs in the NAMCO executive official cars. This is a raid. NAMCO, this is a raid. Thank you very much. In this raid, the police seized 74 kg of gold bars. 74 kg of gold bars. Hang on a second. How much is 74 kg of gold bars? Google, explain. How much is 74 kgs of gold bars worth? Of gold worth. Jeez, okay. Yeah. Hey. Yo. It's about 10 million US dollars, give or take a couple of thousand dollars. Yeah. Although, to be fair, this man is a genius. You know how a lot of countries have been piling up gold to cushion themselves from global economic shocks? Well, I don't blame the guy. Bro also decided, you know what? Having this whole cash lying around is just, I mean, when it's being eaten by inflation and all that, so how about just convert some of this cash to gold just for security reasons? You know, economic security. What he forgot was that he forgot the police security aspect of things, and now he, you know, has to explain. Now, you and I know he did not get all that gold from his salary. And definitely not all that money from his salary. Something is fishy going on. Something fishy is going on here. So, again, finding right person is not going to cut it. you need to participate in your own economy. You need to participate in your own economy if you want to fight corruption. You need to participate in your own political aspect of your country. Otherwise, it's, you know, finding right person person for all government officials is not, is just it's impossible. I don't know what accent is that, but you know, I'm digging it. They, you know, I'm digging it. So wherever stakeholder engagements are being held, participate. If you, you know, if you want to understand how to communicate with your public officials, and also if you want to understand how to participate in your how your laws are made, and how your country is run economically and politically, and how everything around you is operated, you know, showing up to the polls every elections circles is not, is, you need to do more. So show up and ask questions to your public officials. It's very important. Very important. Okay, enough of whatever that accent is. Okay, 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 okay. Breathe, breathe, breathe. So, Mind's the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. In the next 3 minutes, we are going to go to the music session of the show. And if you are new, don't worry. It's a very wonderful show. It's just based on, you know, a sense of humor. You're supposed, laughter is good medicine. Laughter is good medicine. It's good for your lungs, your heart, well, your legs, good blood pumping through your body when you laugh. And that is good for your health. And so just laugh and don't take any of this advice. If you take any of it and end up in trouble, just, you know, keep my name out of your mouth. Or I'll just come there with my caterpillars and start bulldozing you and your family. Okay, I'm not a genocidal maniac. It's just laugh and leave everything here. Thank you very much. So you have in now, so you have officials. My point, just to wrap up my whole rambling here, my point is the right people can also be bribed. So voting for the right people, it's a good thing, but it shouldn't be the whole thing. Because it's impossible to vote for a good, you know, to have a good public official in all public positions. It's impossible. Borderline impossible. So that means, yeah, look for the best in people when you're voting for them. Look for the best in political parties when you're choosing one. Don't pick one because my father was a, you know, my father belonged to this party. I will die in the battle. Come on. You can read. Get different manifestos. Read through them. Make an informed decision, not an ancestral decision. This is not ancestral land. This is not an ancestral land discussion. This is a governance discussion. So, vote, or more like your political affiliation, the parties you are voting for, the parties you, or the ideologies you are following. Why are you following that idea? Are you following it because someone told you to follow it, or you read everything there is to know about that particular ideology, political party? You know, that's why you're siding. A lot of us are siding with one because, well, it's the one that is putting me in close proximity to knowing a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy. Therefore, I will derive a lot of advantages from that. Now, if that's what you are making your decision on, I respect you. Do I agree with your decision? No, I don't. Do I respect you? Yeah. Why do I respect you? Because, well, you made a decision, rational decision, because you are interested in what? Knowing a guy who knows a guy. And that's important. So I respect someone who follows an ideology because he wants to know a guy who knows a guy. I respect someone who follows an ideology or a political party because he has read a document or the manifesto or all the documents, as much as they can possibly get information on that political party or that political party manifesto or that ideology. I respect those two. What I don't respect is, blind following. Oh. I was born in this party. I will die in this party. So even if you are broke, in that case, then you deserve to die broke. Because you are supposed to think outside the box. Think outside the box. So, music time with yours truly here on Mind the Gap. Old school, check. Kolong esirwa, I have no idea what that means, but it's African, so I can just dance along. Dance along. Speaking of dance along. Okay. Is that... that's Pablo, right? Dance along. I don't want to dance alone tonight. It's already weekend, so... okay, the weekend is basically over, but I'm just going to dance alone anyway.
Tonight I wanna hold you close, I don't wanna let you go. Loving you is all I know. Girl, look into my eyes and tell me why. You got me tantalized, yeah, you got me feeling so alive. Ain't no surprises. On our way, we don't waste time. Grab my hands, lay them down on your waistline. Then we get low. If you let me take you for a ride, you'll memorize it.
lifetime. I could never ever sell you lies. Your touch is righteous. On our way, we don't waste time. Let my hands lay them down on your waistline. Then we get along. Even if it's only for a night, let's make it time.
And we are 16 minutes left to the hour of one. You are still listening to My Nigga with Helmed on Eagle FM. And just, I mean, it's just the last 30 minutes of music session. So up next is, for those of you that were born in 2000, chill. I'm just playing, you know, most of the songs that came out when I was in high school. If you, most of you were not even born yet, so just enjoy the time when music was still had, you know, a certain, according to the French, je ne sais quoi to it. When people were still, according to Elizabeth, music was, music had its, flair when artists were grabbing the rain and, you know, were singing in the rain and grabbing and pulling the wind or the air, you know, towards themselves. And, that's when music was just hitting different. And now all music is based on is taking your clothes off. That shows lack of talent, really. That shows you people don't have any talent. So, because, back then, people sang with, you know, with people sang fully dressed, and the music still killed it. And you these days feel like if you sing with your clothes on, no one is gonna listen. That's because the talent is not in the song; it's in, you know what? What did music sound like before when people were singing with their clothes on? It sounded something like this.
Flow Rider, you know I got love for you. See, what happened was, we in Bahamas, yep, I remember it was 08 summer, some pretty eyed girl, nice to meet you, it's an honor, yep.
Now, let me explain. What happened was, we were in the Bahamas, and I remember some pretty eyed girl approached me, and she tapped me and told me that she's Rihanna. You're welcome.
She tapped me, told me she Rihanna now. Y'all know my man in the gutter, wanna hug her, wanna... Rubber wanna touch, I gotta love her. That chain around my neck should have been her. And that's the truth, she'll tell you what the color was.
She tapped me and told me that she's Rihanna. He never told me what the color was. But when Florida and Busta Rhymes are saying it, it's NTI.
Shadow crosses mine. What it takes to form a lie. Still, I am feeling. I just can't deny. But I gotta let it go. We found love in a hopeless place.
Yeah, we found love in a hopeless place by Rihanna and Florida. And now, if you just found love in a hopeless place, congratulations, as long as that hopeless place is not someone else's relationship or someone else's marriage, because you know you're going to get shot, right? Getting involved with someone who is married or someone who's already taken is not finding love in a hopeless place. It's finding love in a place where you could get shot. That's just free. Now, that advice you are allowed to take. Just take that you are allowed to take.
Love, I think it found us. The one that pulls to everywhere and all around us. I was hoping that it's soaking that it drowned us. Talking everything in motion till I time up. I can deal with your emotions by the pound, love. Set sail by the ocean, even crown, yeah. Plenty room for your love and I got a spot for your luggage. I took it right out the oven, knew she was hot, hot, hot. Damn, where the birthday girl at? No, she went to live. I was there, Jeroboam Magnum. 30 grand like get a DJ, a Magnum. Spark it up, strong gum, yeah, my click batter. Got the Gotti outside, so my chick batter. It's a party, then I'm rocking like a Mick Jagger. Got Play-Doh, so yeah, me and Robin, we can play in Barbados. We seen the light shine in the MIA, yo. Rihanna, tell her what the color was.
Is a love song about finding love by two black people, but the music is too white. You know, look, there's an African version of this type of music. One, everybody they wait.
My beautiful baby, have you seen my tomato baby? Oh, ELA, baby, softly they cool me temper. Ada, baby, na sugar, sugar. Yo. Everybody they wait. Puta kene no bo. If I did my maca, better supuna money kill a mo. Ada, mwa peke ya.
Everybody de wach.
Oh,
kada, da kata for everywhere. I don't know the lack of that, I get up up and down. Baby, na tomato, baby, too fresh like morning wine. Ada welele, yo, go, go, go. Everybody, they wait. Put a kene no bo. If I do my maka, better soup na money kilambo. I don't want to pick him, ya.
In 9 months' time, we will come visit with a boy and girl, Anna Bejima. I have no idea what that means, but it's about love, so sing along. 5 minutes left to the hour of one. Mindy Cape with Helmed on Eagle FM. It's just a short, slim, Kavango, funny Kavango guy. Good looking Kavango guy. And very funny Kavango guy. Did I mention funny? So, coming up next is My Banga Let Napaka, My Cheki No De Bounce. For those of you that, you know, want to decide whether you should marry for love or for money. Yeah. Rich people. That's one thing I don't like about rich people. They stole resources, hoarded it for themselves, and then used some of the money. And then they made sure that rich people can only chill and marry rich people. And, you know, unless you have blue blood. That was a running nonsense for a very long time of that monarchies were ruling. And they used a lot of that money, rich people, after stealing all the resources and hoarding it for themselves. They decided to spend millions of their, you know, of money on making movies, music, and movies, and pretty much the entire entertainment industry on marrying for love. When last did, who was the last person in your family to marry for love? You'd be marrying for money and power, which is why you have remained with all the money and power. Generational wealth has a lot to do with marriage than anything else. It's used to cement relationships. At least that's what they call it. I think I'm watching a whole lot of this. But I just like the fact that I can't be lied to about, you know, just marry for love. If you have to marry for money, marry for money. But you have to understand that most of the people that are good in bed are broke. So, yeah, take your poison.
come for you. And when I finish, you go no send a me. As you dare the delay to prove my love, and you must chop my money.
It's this type of music that I have a problem with. I know I'm playing one already. No, I'm playing one already. To prove my love for you, go chop my money. Guys, you're millionaires. People listening to this, a lot of them think, okay, some of us are too broke to actually fulfill this promise. To prove my love, you go chop my money. My money is going to finish in one afternoon. And she will not have any money to chop. And now I'm being kicked out of my house because I gave her all my money to chop to prove my, like, the point is, this is not how things are supposed to be. Until I become rich. Until then, let's just all marry for love. When I become rich, I'll join the rich club and just everything is about money. My kambashu ne paka. My backyard flat not bounce. My e-wallet not bounce. Yeah, I think I can modify this to fit my financial status. My e-wallet not bounce. My backyard flat, you know what? A commercial break.
Bargain hunters, why pay more when you can pay less at USafe stores? 4 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions, $194.99. 3 kilograms Polana elbow or macaroni pasta at $72.99. 500 grams brick Rama original 70% fat spread at $26.99. 750 ml right brand sunflower oil at $29.99. And 700 ml crystal gold tomato sauce, an absolute bargain for $22.99. And 5 kilos Marathon white sugar at $99.99. Save big at USave.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekuprile.
And that brings us to the end of Mind the Gap for today. The time is 1 o'clock on the dot, and we meet again next Sunday. That's where we on Mind the Gap, where we do social, financial, political advice and all kinds of advice, really. All kinds of advice you are not allowed to exercise in real life. You're just supposed to laugh and leave everything. And with that, again, have a good of what is left of the weekend.
Say we want your few run the back to stay. Them say I decree. Say we can love with this. They don't know how I feel. Baby, say something. Maybe do something. Yeah, let me hear you say I do. Baby, say something. Maybe do something. Yeah, baby, moon I give you. Cause my banker lots my bagger. My check in on the bounce. My mansion on a badam, baby, take a look around. My banker that's na bagam, my checking on the bounce. My mansion on a badam, baby, you take a look around. Ah, yeah. Girl, it's up to you, what are you praying? Say, I do. Yeah. Ah, yeah. Go tell your papa, say, I mean, they come for you.
bishop una ega digo iyo gogo iyo gogo iyo gogo enje na nke bishop una ifa digo My bank and that's my bagan. My checking on the bounce. My mansion on a badam. Baby, take a look around. My bank and that's my bagan.